Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the final day of March, the 31st of March, 2011. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330. And you can always check us out on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We're live weekday mornings 9 to 10. We re-air our program from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a leadoff interview with the two state representatives from Tucson's District 27. Both are freshman lawmakers. Then we will talk with Laura Penny. She is the executive director of the Pima County Women's Commission. At the bottom of the hour, certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers will be here to answer your tax questions. Want to give out that tax tip hotline number. It's the Buckmaster Show live line number 529-3508. If you have any questions for Michael C. Flowers concerning your taxes, after all, that deadline, I believe, is about 2 weeks from tomorrow. And then we'll close out the show with a newsmaker interview with Ann Day, Pima County Supervisor who represents the Catalina Foothills on the Board of Supervisors. And I can tell you, Miss Day is very upset with the Arizona legislature. The Buckmaster Show is primarily an interview-driven talk show, but there's always room for listener comments and questions. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 529-3508. And speaking of the legislature, we begin this morning with State Representative Sally Ann Gonzalez, Democrat District 27, and Dr. Macario Sodate, Democrat District 27. They are the two representatives from District 27 in Tucson. Dr. Saldati and Representative Gonzalez, thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Bill.
Dr. Saldati, let's begin with you. What has your experience been? This is your first time at the legislature. Representative Gonzalez was there previously and then took some time off and then returned. But how is it going, Dr. Saldati?
Well, it's going well in general, Bill. It's been interesting. I tell people it's like going back to graduate school, but with a lot of disciplines, a lot of topics, new topics, and certainly some interesting human dynamics as well. So it's been interesting. It's certainly a privilege to be here, but it is a challenge.
Yeah, it certainly is, especially if you're a Democrat. Representative Gonzalez, this is your second. You're technically a freshman lawmaker this time around, but you did serve prior in the legislature. How is it? What's changed? A lot, I guess, huh?
Well, not really. The process hasn't changed, and you know, being part of the minority hasn't changed. The minority hasn't changed, so we get left out a lot. What has changed is the recession and the money issue, and we don't have you know, we have to balance our budget, and we're trying to, you know, set our priorities right on doing that, and we haven't been able to do that, and that's why people are upset, like the counties, like Ann Day, and so that's what's different as far as my prior experience here.
Yeah, we interviewed Ann Day a few moments ago, and that interview will run at 45 minutes past the hour. She's just furious with the leadership up there, and this continually passing through and passing down to the cities and counties, all of the state's red ink. Is there any way that you're having any voice, Dr. Saldati? Are the Democrats, are they just out in left field? Do you have any kind of say on this budget that is moved from the Senate now into the House?
Unfortunately, very little. There are some efforts to try to make contact, try to make some kind of communication with the majority, but that's relatively difficult to do, to tell you the truth. We keep hoping for that opportunity, and we certainly are among the Democrats, the Democratic caucus is always looking at strategies by which we might be able to establish a better relationship with the majority. But frankly, when it comes to the majority of bills, we're still 40-20. And there are some that are not as critical. And on those, of course, we have a great deal of agreement on. But the major bills, especially the budget, health, education, et cetera, we're still a long ways away.
Representative Gonzalez, this must be very frustrating for you.
It is. It is because, you know, we've worked hard and trying. We've been talking about, you know, holding the Republicans accountable for what they're doing. And, you know, we need to continue that because they're now shifting a lot of the burden onto the counties and cities. And granted, they're frustrated and they're very upset at what's happening here, and we just need to hold them accountable for what they're doing and the impact that it's going to have on our communities back where we represent. And for us, it's District 27.
We're speaking with Dr. Macario Saldate and State Representative Sally Ann Gonzalez. They are the two Democratic representatives from Tucson's District 27. It's coming up on 13 minutes past the hour, and this is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Saldate, you have been an educator all your life. This must be a very difficult time to see what is going on with higher education and K through 12. How bad is this situation?
The situation is very bad. It's we're losing the funds to all started with kindergarten. We've already lost quite a bit of dollars in terms of budget, and we have over the last 3 years, etc. The impact of that we'll see. As we know, the importance of preschool, etc., has a tremendous effect on the job opportunities for these individuals and the life opportunities. As far as community colleges, that's the same thing. So we're at a stance right now where the educational system, which in fact can bring us to a better situation economically for the state, are being cut at $65 million more than $107 million reduction proposed by Governor Jan Brewer. These cuts from K through 12 of $172 million are all the types of things that are going to increase class sizes. It's going to give not as much attention to individual learners, and certainly will not promote and not drive the economy in a manner we think we could in terms of becoming leaders in a variety of areas. The university, for example, has been at the leadership at beginning to bring forth a lot of important scientific discoveries having to do with biosciences, with solar energy, all of the types of options that we need now to improve our economy. And we're also cutting that source. So the creativity and the intellectual strength by which we could move towards a better economy is not being supported at all by these budgets, and unfortunately, it doesn't look good in the future.
Representative Gonzalez, the former chair, CEO of Intel, and some other top business executives went before the Arizona Commerce Commission yesterday and said this situation with education has become so critical that if Intel was looking to expand, they would not even put Arizona on their top 10 list because of this failing education system. Something's got to give here.
That's right, Bill. I read the article, and it's really, really shameful for us to be cutting education if we want to improve the economy here in Arizona. No business, and they're absolutely right. The Democrats have been saying that we need to fund education in order to get our economy moving again, and it's, you know, We are looking to, you know, that's what we're going to be fighting for today. And when we're up on the floor fighting on the budget and looking at the budget, we're going to be debating the budget today and tomorrow probably. And we're going to be holding them accountable and asking, how can you do this if we want to, they talk about moving the economy and bringing jobs to Arizona. Well, the budget does not do that. The budget is not bringing any jobs to Arizona, and like Intel, you know, the executives of Intel, they're telling us. They're telling us really bluntly that if we don't have a strong educational system, they're going to look elsewhere.
And Dr. Saldate, it wasn't just yesterday, it was the week before last, I believe it was, 60 of the leading CEOs in Arizona had an editorial in the Arizona Daily Star, including, I believe, Jim Click had signed his name to that as well, saying, please, put some emphasis in education. This has got to stop.
Well, I think that's we're very proud to see that happening. I think that's the type of pressure that is needed. When we get constituents of that nature, the chambers, I know that the Tucson Chamber of Commerce, that the Hispanic Chamber of Tucson Chamber of Commerce has done a lot of work to organize individuals to send that message forward. And I think it's needed. It really is. And it has helped. And I think it's turned some things around here, at least to beginning to rethink the issue of the economy in relationship to education. I think it has had an impact.
Representative Gonzalez, did you have any success sponsoring any bills this session?
Absolutely not. You know,
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd ask anyway. How about you, Dr. Saldate?
Well, I didn't. I had a fairly good, I thought, an education kind of basic skills K through university that I was trying to set up so that we could have a network by which we could know what are the entry skills at each level of education and exit skills as well. I thought that would be sort of a foundational kind of a bill, but it didn't go where I wanted to go.
I guess it made too much sense, huh?
Probably.
We've only got a few seconds left, so the House budget, you'll be looking at it today, and when do you think this final action will come?
I perceive that we still have a couple of weeks,
okay.
A week or two before it's finalized.
Okay. So,
well, Bill, I believe that if we look at it, we haven't seen it yet, so it's going to be reviewed in the House Appropriations Committee this afternoon, and it might be a late night, but I think we'll be voting on it after 12 today or sometime during the day tomorrow.
Representative Sally Ann Gonzalez, Democrat District 27, Dr. Macario Saldate, Democrat District 27 as well. Thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show and talking with your constituents.
Thank you, Bill, for
the
opportunity.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. We will be back in a moment, and we'll speak with Laura Penny of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at ferroamorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It is now coming up on 24 minutes past the hour. This is the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind you, in about 10 minutes, we'll be taking all of your tax questions. Tax day is coming very quickly, 2 weeks from tomorrow, and Michael C. Flowers, our certified public accountant, will be here to answer all of your tax questions. The Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona is celebrating its 20th anniversary next Wednesday, April the 6th, with a luncheon at the Tucson Convention Center. The event features a tribute to the two women philanthropists who co-founded the organization, Harriet Silverman and Melody Robidoux. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is the Executive Director of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, Laura Penny. Good to see you, Laura.
Good morning.
We were talking, we go back a long way, when you were the aide to Lisa Graham Keegan back in 1994, the former school superintendent of Arizona. So we go back a ways, and now you're with, have been with the Women's Foundation. Tell us about the Women's Foundation. What is your mission?
Our mission is to foster equity and opportunity for women and girls. I mean, our vision is a world where women can achieve their full potential and pursue their dreams.
And I think that the two founders, Harriet and Melody, realized that there was this need to give to organizations that support women and girls, correct?
When they looked at the issue back in the early 90s, only about 5 or 6% of private philanthropic dollars in the U.S. were going to programs that served women or girls, despite the fact that women and girls are disproportionately impacted by a lot of social issues like poverty, like violence. And they said, you know, we need to try to level that playing field, because we think if women are given the opportunity to be successful financially, professionally, educationally, the whole community is going to benefit from that. You know, one of the things we talk about all the time is that one of the greatest predictors of a child's success in school, and education is a big topic, obviously, is the educational attainment level of the mother. And so, you know, one of the ways to tackle some of the education, pressing education issues we have in this community, is to make sure that moms are educated and moms are supportive of their kids' education. You get a twofer.
Are we doing better when it comes to equality, the pay issue equality?
Here in
Pima County, are we a little bit better than perhaps other areas of Arizona?
Pima County is doing a little bit better than other areas, but you're talking about 4 or 5 cents on the dollar. Women here still earn probably 80, in the low 80s, compared to men. And that's when you even account for the fact that some women work part-time. So if you just look at full-time employment. Now, obviously, we have the university here, huge economic driver. And, you know, we periodically do research on the status of women. And one of the bright spots is that more women are graduating from the U of A than men.
Wow, I did not realize that. That's good news for the and getting women certainly making a dent in that pay equity issue as well.
Yeah, we're not. The interesting thing is we're not seeing it translate yet into financial equity. But certainly women are at least getting the education that will position them to hopefully earn an equitable wage in the future.
What are some of the organizations that you're funding, some of the grant recipients through the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona?
Well, our focus, we have funded more broadly in the past programs for women and girls, but at this point, no surprise, our focus is economic self-sufficiency for women and girls. And so we are looking for organizations that help women establish their financial independence. Some of these are programs that all of your listeners are familiar with, like the Primavera Foundation, New Beginnings, the Girl Scouts. But sometimes we find scrappy little startups where there's passion and vision, and just a small injection of money can really launch that program to the next level.
This is a big deal, the 20th anniversary. You've come a long way, haven't you?
We have. I mean, I always hesitate when people say you've come a long way, because I expect people to say baby after the end of it.
Say baby,
I know you
yes.
didn't. We have. We have come a long way in raising public awareness about the issues women and girls face, about equity, and I think the community is embracing our message.
Laura Penny, a delight talking with you. The Executive Director of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, marking their 20th anniversary next Wednesday at the Tucson Convention Center with a luncheon. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, we've got our tax tip special coming up, 529-3508, 529-3508. That's coming up right after this break. Listed up.
This is Tucson's Jolt, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Breaking news, a tornado has apparently touched down near Tampa, Florida. There are reports that about 70 people are trapped in a building that collapsed at the Lakeland Linder Airport. Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen was asked today if the U.S. plans to give weapons to the opposition fighters in Libya.
That's in significant both discussion and debate right now, but heretofore no decision has been made to do that.
Mullen and Defense Secretary Robert Gates were questioned on Capitol Hill. British Prime Minister David Cameron says they're talking to Libya's former foreign minister who quit and went to London.
Let me be clear. Moussa Koussa is not being granted immunity. There is no deal of that kind.
Tea Party activists are planning a rally outside the U.S. Capitol this afternoon to protest a possible budget deal between Democrats and Republicans. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hey there. How's it going? My name's Eric, and I work at Lowe's. Hurry into Lowe's now through May 6th to take part in our exclusive Build It event and save big on building materials, tools, windows, and doors. Like free local delivery via mail-in rebate when you spend $499 or more on asphalt roofing shingles. Plus, get free local delivery via mail-in rebate with the purchase of $199 or more of Johns Manville fiberglass insulation. Lowe's, let's build something together. Shingle offer valid through 5/9/11. Johns Manville offer valid through 4/18/11. See store for details. Valid in U.S. only.
People come to Ruth's Chris for more than just a great steak. They come to let off some steam. Take Rob, Joe, and Shelley. When they get wrapped up in a week-long assignment at work, they head on over to Ruth's Chris for a much-needed break over some sizzling steak served to perfection. It's a chance for them to loosen up, have a few laughs, and talk about anything. Anything but work, that is. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Serving more than just sizzling steaks.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's about 35 minutes past the hour. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, Associate Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show, and I am delighted to have Michael C. Flowers with us live in studio. And it's almost that time. Taxes 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Aren't you glad you got yours done, Bill?
I am very glad.
Listen, ahead of the curve.
Yeah, there you go. 529-3508, 529-3508. If you have any tax questions, Michael C. Flowers is the guy to ask the questions of. How is it going this tax season?
It's going pretty smoothly. I think we're surprised with the number of people that are getting refunds. There's a making work pay credit that has come into play. People are utilizing the child credit. There's some Arizona credits for tuition support as well as extracurricular activities, some of which you can still do through April 15th, so it may be a concern. If you find out you owe the Arizona Department of Revenue $1,000, you can give $1,000 to a tuition support organization, and that liability will go away. You won't owe them anything. So it's a way to sort of direct where your money goes, and that's a pretty good idea this time of year.
529-3508. If you have a tax question for Michael C. Flowers, now is the time to get free advice from a top certified public accountant. And I want to say that, you know, you see these people this time of year out on the corner saying, come on, get your taxes done. We'll guarantee you're getting a refund.
Right.
These people usually are not CPAs.
No,
are they?
Generally, you won't see CPAs out on the sidewalk.
wasn't that you that was up there at Swan and Sunrise?
Swan and Sunrise.
With a Statue
of Liberty.
Free tax
returns, yes. No, what, there's a big difference between some of the, we call those the commercial tax preparers, and those type of preparers are generally seasonal. They don't have the experience that a CPA does. To be a CPA, you need to go through college. You have to have a couple of years of experience. You have to pass sort of like a lawyer type exam, and you have to have malpractice insurance, etc. So it's a big difference between a CPA and a non-CPA.
Michael C. Flowers is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Ron is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Ron, get some free tax advice.
Okay, I got a hole-in-one at my club, and we have what's called a hole-in-one club where they assess each member $5 after someone gets a hole-in-one, and then they collect it and they pay it out to the person who got the hole-in-one. But then they issued a 1099.
How much was the 1099 for? This sounds like a trick by one of your buddies.
$1,355.
$1,355?
Right.
Wow.
And so, but my question is, I did not get that income from that club. I got it from each individual member who contributed $5. So
and did you have to buy a round of drinks or anything with that, or is that just all your money?
No, that's what you're supposed to do with it.
Did you spend the money on the drinks?
No.
Well, then you probably have some income, and I'm really surprised you got a 1099, but if you don't put it on your tax return, you're going to get a notice from the IRS.
Yeah, now, can I deduct somewhere the $5 I was paying people when they got it, too?
I would think it pretty much relates to your own hole in one. And if, for example, you would have bought a round of drinks, then I would think you could deduct 50% of the drink cost if you would. And that's going to go on Schedule C. And you're really not going to like what I tell you next. But in addition to paying regular tax on it, the IRS is going to expect self-employed. Well, no, that's winning. So you probably didn't get a non-employee. Do you know what box it says on your 1099?
Oh, no, that's a good question.
It's probably not subject to self-employment tax, but if it's in the box called non-employee compensation, the IRS is going to expect to get Social Security tax out of you. That's more like a gambling winning type issue, it seems like. We don't see a lot of those.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Hey, congratulations. That's been a great shot.
That is probably one question we did not, or you certainly did not.
Yeah, I didn't study for that one last night.
529-3508. We can get a couple of quick questions in here if you'd like to get Michael C. Flowers.
I bet he had a CPA buddy that's pulling his leg and probably didn't send it to the IRS.
But that is really an intriguing question, isn't it?
It's income to some degree, right? It is, certainly.
I want to ask you about the getting an extension. Say you cannot file on the 15th. What do you do?
All right, the most important thing, many people think that let me get an extension and then I'll pay them in October, I'll pay them in September. The extension is an automatic six-month extension. However, it does not extend the amount of time in which to file the tax return.
Carl is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Carl. You're with Michael C. Flowers.
Hey, Michael. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Carl.
Great. Hey, if a person has an LLC and the LLC has to generate a K-1, if there's any activity, what if there isn't any activity in the LLC?
Well, let's back up because there's something a little bit more. Is it a single member LLC?
Yep.
Are you the only member of the LLC?
Well, actually, one is and one isn't.
All right. Well, a single member LLC from a tax return standpoint is what's known as a disregarded entity, and you would just file that information on your Schedule C profit and loss statement. However, if there's two members in an LLC, then you would be required by default to file a partnership return, and that's what would generate the K-1, one to each partner. However, if you had no activity, there's probably not a requirement to file, but if you put $1,000 in the bank, or each of you put up $1,000, you may want to report that activity to the IRS just to establish the fact that the LLC is in operation. But there'll be no tax liability associated with just contributing capital to the LLC. But if it's a single member, it would go on your Schedule C, and if there's no activity, then you wouldn't have to put it on your Schedule C either.
Thanks for the question.
Is there any magic in filling out K-1?
Yeah, it's something you shouldn't try at home. It's not a typical tax return form, and it's pretty much generated. Generally, you're supposed to put a balance sheet in for the LLC as well as a profit and loss. And if you want, you can call me in my office, and I may be able to sort of walk you through it. My phone number is 327-8706. Give me a call after the show, and I'll be happy to try to walk you through it.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Cole.
Thank you very much. Coming up now on 42 minutes past the hour, we can squeeze in a question or two more, 529-3508, 529-3508. While we're waiting for that next question, we talked about getting the extension. What about chances of being audited? What can you do to avoid an audit, Michael C. Flowers?
Probably don't do your own tax return. the IRS has certain flags for different items. Let's say you made $20,000, but you decided that you had a $15,000 charitable contribution, your chances of being audited are fairly high under those circumstances. So the IRS uses the computer to select the majority of their tax returns that they pick for audit. But in addition, they do random type audits, just certain people. And a lot of the audits are generated. For example, that gentleman that got the 1099, if he didn't put that on his return, he would be a victim of what we call a correspondence audit, where the IRS sends out a notice saying they received a 1099 showing $1,355 worth of income. It's not on his return. The IRS will calculate the tax on that, send the taxpayer a notice, and when taxpayers get that, it's usually a good advice to have a CPA or somebody take a look at it, because they're not always accurate. So there's all different chances of being audited. Our first advice to somebody in our office that gets audited, immediately we have them sign a power of attorney to us, which means that the IRS talks to us and not to the client, because we sort of know the questions and where they're going with their questions, and we know how to phrase them in their best and put somebody in their best tax light. Even if a deduction's questionable, we can get it closer to being approved than not approved.
529-3508. We can squeeze in one more question. Here's another question, a caller who did not want to go on the air. Will the CPA represent you in front of the IRS if you do?
Yeah, that's one of the advantages we have as a CPA. There's a form 2848, which is the power of attorney. If you sign that, there's a box that's checked saying that I'm a CPA. We send that to the IRS, and then they're immediately forbidden from contacting you. So it is something that we do. And in our office, we do many audits for clients that weren't originally clients of ours because they got in trouble for something they did, or they didn't file, or whatever the circumstances are. And we're more than happy to help somebody who even did their own return. And we can, again, put it in its best light, or at least put it so that it may be deductible. Or, in fact, many times the taxpayer is right. So it's just a matter of having the proper representation and knowing what you're doing when you talk to the IRS.
Michael C. Flowers, give us that phone number again in case we have some of our listeners who would like to give you a call after the show this morning at 10 o'clock.
Yes, certainly. And again, this is on a no-charge basis as a courtesy to you, Bill, and the great job you're doing
in the community. Thank you.
My phone number is 327-8706, Mike Flowers, and I look forward to calls. And our goal is to try to keep people from paying too much taxes. So whether you're a client of ours or not, I'd be happy to give you some advice on the phone.
And if folks want to come by and see you, you're at 2919 East Broadway, and you're on the web at flowersrieger.com. You've got a great office over there, a great staff, and I know you work real hard to bring top people in.
Yeah, Bill, we really appreciate it. And again, congratulations on what you're doing for Tucson. And this show is certainly a tribute to you, as well as the quality of the people and what we have to offer to the Tucson community.
Thank you so much, Michael C. Flowers, and good luck with the remaining tax season.
2 weeks to go, not too bad.
2 weeks to go, then you can take a brief breather. See you later. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of 5 major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Canada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, 3 blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
It's 49 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Next, a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Ann Day, who is furious at attempts by state lawmakers to micromanage, local government control. I spoke with Pima County Supervisor Ann Day just before we went on the air this morning at 9 a.m. Supervisor Day, thank you very much for being with us. The state lawmakers continue to pass through more of the state's red ink to cities and counties. Will that impact, for instance, the Ina Road wastewater treatment site where the work is underway?
No, I don't think that is going to have the effect. But clearly, the biggest hurdle we face is the legislature with our budget. But this last election empowered everyone, apparently, who is a hard conservative. And I consider myself a fiscal conservative, but a moderate Republican.
You're a moderate Republican who served in the state legislature, but have you ever seen anything like what's going on?
I have not.
Where would you be if you were up there at the state legislature? Would you be considered liberal?
Well, moderates are an endangered species. There aren't any left because this whole legislature is so polarizing and so anti-local control. And right there is a big disconnect, because it's the conservatives that have always said the government closest to the people is where democracy exists. But you wouldn't know that, because this legislature is warring with their own constituents here. And the various bills under consideration are vindictive. They're getting back at Pima County and the city of Tucson, and there's no trust, no respect, and no holds barred.
We're talking with Pima County Supervisor Ann Day, obviously feeling very passionate about what's going on up at the legislature. And translate that, and what is that going to mean for Pima County's financial situation if some of these bills pass?
Well, yeah, they're not only doing cost shifts to the counties, but they're also micromanaging on top of that. And as a Navajo County supervisor put so elegantly, quote, "There is nothing conservative about putting the state in the black by shifting red, parenthesis, state costs to the counties." And if this legislature is trying to pass bills right and left, that because of the complexities and lack of compromise will take years to get right because of the repercussions. And a good example is this flat tax bill that fortunately apparently has died.
Yeah, it looks like it's dead now.
Put that out there, and they're not holding hearings, and the few public hearings that they hold are letting people speak for 10 minutes and nothing else. So there are no opposing views, no stakeholders, and when you impose blanket policies for complex issues, it will take years to sort that out. And if this legislature would just ask us for our thoughts, if they would talk to Pima County local officials, but they don't even ask. They just tell us what to do. And by cost shifting, putting the counties in the red, we take the blame. And there are many counties in the state, hopefully not Pima County this year, will have to raise their taxes this year.
Let me ask you about one of the pieces of legislation that the state lawmakers have been pushing concerning Pima County. That would be to take away the Pima County supervisor's control of the wastewater treatment plant in Marana and giving it to the town of Marana. Is that moving forward?
I'm sure it is, and I think the governor will sign it. I think it will pass.
What will the implications be?
Well, the implications will be that whether the bill passes or doesn't pass, this whole issue will end up in court. And I understand Marana viewing this as critical to their future as a town. They want to control their own destiny, and I understand that. And Pima County looks at this as fragmenting a critical regional asset that we have run the sewer for decades. And I look at this as a dispute that has dragged on far too long and is only hurting the taxpayers and making lawyers rich. And it's not too late to mediate or arbitrate. And as I said, whether the bill in the legislature passes or not, it won't answer the question or resolve this dispute. And Pima County wants Marana to pay the fair market value of the treatment plant that we own. And it's worth $20 million, and I think Marana, even last night at a PAG 208 meeting, offered $8 million. So the bottom line is that both sides need to sit down, set aside the animosity, and craft a solution, because it's not done in court, and no one wins in court.
wanted to talk to you briefly about redistricting. You saw the piece in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star by Tony Davis about the Catalina foothills losing population. Actually, and of course, that's your representation area on the board of the Pima County Supervisors, the foothills. The foothills, one of just three Pima County areas to show population declines in 2010. I was surprised to hear that news. Were you?
No, not at all, because for the last few years, I've said for years, the last 3 years or so, with all our rezoning that we do at the county, it's built out. There's no place to build.
So there's no more room for anybody to move in.
So there hasn't been room. And as far as redistricting, again, the legislature was going to do the redistricting for us. They have a bill. In fact, it hasn't died yet. I'm hoping it does. But here again, they're interfering with local control. So if the bill doesn't pass, then it should, our process should be very similar to last year's process. And that's where we have public hearings, and the five supervisors each appoint one person to sit on a committee. And I think the only requirements are that the districts have equal populations and meet the Voting Rights Act. Democrats have been very secure in their districts, and Ray and I probably have the closest to a swing district, but they're pretty Republican. So the number of constituents you're supposed to have in your district is 196,000, and that would mean that Ray, who has the most, I think he has 214,000, will have to lose a few precincts. I have 192,000, so I would have to add a couple of precincts. Ramon Valadez, our county chairman, is even, and Richard Elias is going to have to add the most in his district, and I think Sharon has to add a couple of districts, yes.
So where is this all going to go with this legislature, and could it mean more, will it mean an increase in taxes for the residents of Pima County eventually?
Well, probably, I'm hoping not, but since you asked that, you know, Chuck Huckleberry's pretty clever with the budget every year, and I say he likes to keep it at 55 miles an hour so that if valuations drop, or when they drop, he slightly increases the tax rate every year, and if valuations rise, then he slightly drops it, but we're going to stay at 55 miles an hour. So we probably, the county, is probably in better shape than other local jurisdictions, because this year we have a $76 million carry forward, and Chuck is pretty good at finding ways to squirrel away money and put it in different funds. So I don't think we're going to have cuts or tax increases.
Supervisor Ann Day, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
It was fun. Thank you, Bill, for
Thanks
having
a lot.
Me. Yeah.
We're going to be wrapping it up here on the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind you that Friday is our Friday focus. So tomorrow our interview will be with Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. Also, local reporters will be sounding off on the top stories of the week on our Friday radio roundtable. And, of course, we'll always take your calls. And Matt Russell will have Weekend Watch. That's going to do it on this Thursday for the Buckmaster Show. Have a great day.
Local talk at its best.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
AM 1330 KJLL. South Tucson.